from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
How's that going to change the way it looks with Josh Allen pulling the trigger? Are we going to see more different guys catching the football?
If Chase Claypool is uncoverable and is catching everything in training camp in the preseason, he's going to be there week one as the fourth wide receiver.
Mike Danger.
They are gripping right now if they're Yankee fans.
They are lost.
Gene Battaglia.
This is screaming for a managerial change.
Cleveland Guardians selected Oregon State second baseman Travis Bazzana with the first overall pick of the 2024 MLB draft.
The National League starter in the All-Star game and the man that we all want to see on the mound in the Midsummer Classic. Congratulations to Paul.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
A very good afternoon to you. Welcome on into the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia, glad you're with us and listening along at 95.7 FM, AM 950, the free-to-download Odyssey app, and our video stream up on our YouTube channel at The Fan Rochester and Twitch as well. Danger here, Battaglia there.
President's Day. That is the next time after today we will have a Monday without any football on the horizon.
Ooh.
Next Monday. We will already have four practices in the books for the Buffalo Bills at St. John Fisher University. Camps, rookies reporting around the league.
This is the last Monday without football until President's Day.
Yes.
Ooh. It's a celebration.
We made it, bud.
It's a celebration.
We made it.
Now, hold on a second here. It's a celebration. If it is a celebration, then...
What are we doing? Danger's under the console. What are you reaching around?
You know, if it's a celebration, I'm going to... We're going to celebrate, pal. Happy football. It's here. We're ready.
Hey, you... Where did you pull that out of?
My fridge.
Wait, hold on.
I got a fridge. Nope, Gene's got to come over here. And you don't believe me? Do you want it? You want one?
Right there.
Look at that.
Yeah. A little fridge. See that? Well, when we have a celebration, I want to be prepared. When we have guests, I want to be prepared. I'm always ready to entertain. Derek the pizza dude heard my request. He obliged. And we got a little mini fridge here, a little stash.
That's like a fridge you would have when you're in college or something like that, or in the your own.
It's good for me.
Bar. Yeah, perfect.
Works perfect for me. Nice and cold, by the way.
Is that
football?
Where did we
football? Yes. Last Monday, we made it.
I'm still floored. Like, we had a budget for a fridge, or is that out of storage?
You think
or...
that's new? That is not new.
That is not new.
I don't know who he took it from or who had one that didn't use it, but I will gladly take if you know. I think the conversation was something along the lines of, "Hey, pizza dude, do we happen to have a fridge just laying around anywhere?" That's usually how I ask for things.
Yeah.
Like, if you have something laying around, it's just collecting dust, you don't really need it or you're not really using it every day, I can find use for it, and I'll ask for it that way. And he's like, yeah, actually, I think we do have a fridge just laying around. And I'm like, you know, there's a space right next to me in the new digs that a fridge would be perfect. And he's like, yeah, I think you're right. I'm like, all right.
You know, that's a surprise. And
2 weeks later, we've got a fridge.
And there you are, in the, drinking a cold one with the approved Yacht Club koozie.
Yes, our friends, Captain Obvious, the rest of the Yacht Club crew, they gave me a koozie at one of their shows, and now it's the official koozie of the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia.
And if you are watching right now on YouTube or Twitch, you see Mike Danger just enjoying a nice...
Well, summertime, it's hot, football is right around the corner, we're ready.
This brings back one of your topics. And when I was on vacation, I had the shower beer, and you talk about the mowing beer. There's many different beers. The studio beer.
Ooh.
On a Monday.
Okay. Studio beer. I mean, we've had some good studio beers over the course of our life here in the sports bar. I'm going back in time. I remember... I remember I had that Yingling cooler that we had that was some fine studio beer.
I remember the guys from Three Heads coming in and they did the chocolate chip. Yeah, that was
that cool. might have been the best of studio beers. The rich stout chocolate chip cookie stout from Three Heads, when they brought that in, that is by far the best studio beer we've had. But yeah, we've got the fridge now, Gino. And if you're going to tell me that we're celebrating today because it's the last Monday before football season starts, dude, you don't have to tell me. You don't have to threaten me with a good time. It's a party today.
I walked in earlier today, told Danger that, and it hadn't even crossed your mind. I'm like, yeah.
Well, I don't know how your weekend was, but I had a lot of things going on this weekend. It was a lot, Gene. Mm. There was a lot going on this weekend. And I know you had your day of solitude on Saturday where you were left alone and you got to watch the Mets in central air and comfort. And
I enjoyed every minute of it. Very rare that I tweet something and then I got quoted on a national website.
Oh, what tell
me. I didn't tell you about this. So my day, Danger, I got everything done. Okay. And MLB Network, the 1 o'clock game. All right,
I know where this is going.
Yeah, so 3 o'clock, I'm sitting watching this. I'm like, okay, the Dodger bullpen is going to wrap this up. Fantasy-wise, I've got a couple Dodgers in my team in the bullpen. Well, they blow it. It's a terrible loss for the Dodgers, except nobody got to see the end of it.
That's right.
Who does this? Well, the futures game. All of a sudden, whoever's in the studio, we apologize as we're going to take you now to the Major League Baseball futures game, which...
Brutal.
So I just tweeted, like, hey, MLB Network, know your audience. This wild ending we didn't get to see. Ends up that the Tigers score 5 in the bottom of the ninth. They score 2 in extras. And they come back and win 11-9. That's not your typical Saturday afternoon game, but you stick with the game.
Yes.
So the website Awful Announcing then put this up like, hey, this is really, really bad. And here's outrage from fans. I'm like, holy cow.
Oh, and so yours was one of the...
I was one of the outrage fans.
You were featured in an Awful Announcing article. That's great.
But, yeah, and then I watched the Mets win. And then we also had the Padres and Braves at night. And then I capped it off, Danger, with a little bit of Blue Jays Diamondbacks.
Okay, so that baseball was Saturday.
It's fantastic.
I did not enjoy a good chunk of my my weekend.
Well, who's to blame for that?
Well, I shouldn't say I didn't enjoy it. There were moments of discomfort, but the end result is satisfying. I can't be upset at the end result. If you were listening on Friday, I laid out my weekend, which included replacing my basement windows with glass block. We've had problems for years where if the rain comes in a certain direction, the window well floods and the water would just gush in through the windows and flood the basement. Not like anything catastrophic, just a giant pain where, okay, everything's wet, got to peel back the carpet, make sure it all dries off. We don't want to get any mold. We got to make sure everything is, and then we got to reinstall everything, put everything back. It's a pain. It's a giant pain to try and keep the basement dry when you've got water coming in through the windows because my house isn't graded properly. Just
you don't want to regrade the house.
Just
so
issues. Just,
this is that. That's a smart play. Just get the glass block. But dangerous. There's like countless people that could help you do this.
I understand. My wife does not understand. That part is, no, we're not going to pay somebody to do this for us. We can do this ourselves. This is an easy job. We can do this ourselves. I'm like, I'm sure it isn't that challenging, and I know we can do it ourselves, but what is our time worth? I keep trying to say, like, what is our time worth? Our time spent this weekend, and we didn't even do both. We only did one of the two. We got the job halfway done, which means, guess what? This weekend, I'm going to have to do it again. I'm going to have to do the other one. And now that we've got one under our belt, the second one should be easier. Should be easier. But I'm not going to hold my breath. No, Saturday, I dig out the window well and, you know, look at it. And I'm like, okay, do we have the mortar? Do we have anything? We didn't even have anything. So we weren't really prepared to do the job. We had the physical glass block window. Sunday, we get up and we get after it. So I dug up the window well Saturday. Sunday, we replaced the window. I only got a little boo-boo. Not too bad. Just a little one in my hand where I went to smash the crowbar with the hammer and, you know, just misfired a little bit. Took a chunk of my hand out. That's okay.
It's an OSHA violation, as my son would tell yeah. me. You know, that's not very safe.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday afternoon, I didn't think any of us were expecting that big storm to roll through.
Dude. That was the peak of the frustration because, you know, it was a little frustrating getting the job done, getting the window frame out of, you know, the concrete was a little bit of a challenge. It's in an awkward spot, and I really had to get after it with the crowbar. Finally got that out, get the window installed, put on the mortar, and we think it's okay. We don't really know how long it takes for mortar to cure, but about an hour, I would imagine, like it starts getting a little bit firm. And yeah, you're right. Maybe like 3 hours after we're done, we look at the skies, I'm like, oh my God, we're going to get nailed with a thunderstorm. And it's coming from the direction where I'm like, if this comes the direction I think it's going to come, it's going to fill up that window well that isn't really even a window well right now because I dug it all out. And sure enough, water's rising in this hole next to the window. And I'm like, well, as good a test as ever to see if this is going to work. And then I'm like, all right. And then this is where my wife and I were going back and forth. I go out in the rain. It's pouring. And I take a tarp and cover it up so that no more water can actually get up to the window level. Wanted to see if it would hold water. And I'm sure it would have. But we weren't really willing to risk it after we did all that work. So that was the peak of frustration, you know, being drenched from the rain and from the thunderstorm. But the job is done. So that is the satisfying part. Now it looks better. Hopefully the water stays out. And we did it ourselves. That's satisfying. But I keep going back to, what is our time worth? I could have paid somebody a couple $100 and they probably would have done this for us, and they would have done it in a lot more efficient manner. It took us a long time.
Yeah.
But I did get to watch the Euros with my daughters, as I wanted to do. That was really the only thing I really wanted to do.
Nice game.
It was a great,
boring
first half. Boring first half. If you're not a soccer fan and you only watch the first half, you're still not a soccer fan, because that was boring. Second half was fantastic. And it came down to the wire, and Spain got the win, and I'm getting emotional, and my daughters are happy because they were going to be happy either way. My daughter likes the English team, but she also was rooting for Spain, and because Spain won, they were the better team. Everybody says it. Oh, they're clearly the better team. They deserve to win. They did. They get the win, and that was great. And then last night we were trying to watch the Copa final from Miami. Now, look, if we're going to talk about home ownership here, I feel like it's a little irresponsible for the owner of the Miami Dolphins, Josh Allen, to spend a weekend golfing when you've got people invading your home any way they can to see this final game. He's just out there having a good time at Tahoe golfing when you've got these Colombians and Argentinians just infiltrating Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. Take care of your house, Josh. Take care of your house. You can't. You own the team. Take care of the venue. Argentina got the win.
But that's not what people are talking about.
No.
No, like the videos of, you know, going up a duck and climbing the fence, doing all that other stuff.
I mean, if you don't understand the popularity of soccer outside of the United States, look at that and tell me how you don't understand. Like, it just means more to them. It just means everything to them. And you know, I don't know.
What means getting arrested and breaking the law? And like,
their fandom is out of control. It's out of control. Like, for as crazy as we are about our teams, it's different, man. These countries.
It's a little disturbing that in this day and age, okay, like any, like just your the power numbers, I suppose.
Yeah.
FIFA World Cup. That's 2 years from now. At least this happened now. Treat it like a Super Bowl. I've never covered a Super Bowl. I've never been to a Super Bowl. You've been to a Super Bowl with Danger, but that was many years ago.
Guess where that Super Bowl was.
Yeah, right. But you have perimeters set up. You have checkpoints set up. You're not getting anywhere close without a ticket, correct? So how was this any different down in Miami?
I just, if there was a takeaway, I guess lack of security in our world was the takeaway from this weekend. It was kind of a weird, crazy, unruly weekend where lack of security inside the world of sports and outside the world of sports kind of took center stage.
Let's wake up and be a little more secure.
We've got a great show lined up for you and a couple of great guests to talk some Buffalo Bills here in the sports bar. As you mentioned it, Gino, this is the last Monday that we will have without football until President's Day. Training camp a week from Wednesday.
I'm counting the rookies reporting as football activity.
Fair enough. Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. We'll talk some off-season storylines with him here at 325.
Yeah, as certainly Josh Allen, you know, good that he's relaxing, having some fun at Tahoe, shooting baskets. I don't know if you saw that, but what can Josh Allen actually do to be better this year to get to the Buffalo Bills where they need to be? First the division, then the AFC. We'll talk to Ryan Talbot about some of these camp battles. That's coming up here at the bottom of the hour.
Joining us in the 4 o'clock hour, host of the Bruce exclusive, Bruce Nolan, stops by the sports bar. And Bruce made a return to the podcast space a couple of weeks ago and brought up the idea that there are so many narratives with an NFL team, so many narratives over the course of time, that it's actually too hard for us to become any smarter because all of these narratives move too fast. He calls it an epistemological nightmare. That's the study of knowledge.
Okay.
Thank you.
I did not know that.
There's just too much going on. And what we talk about today will be something that is forgotten about in a couple of weeks or 6 weeks. Whatever our narrative du jour might be. The example he used is, do you remember that for a stretch of time last season, James Cook did not start for the Buffalo Bills? Nobody remembers.
No.
There were a couple of games. Now, he played, but he didn't start. For what that's worth, during the Dorsey era still, James Cook didn't start. And what you saw after Dorsey left was, of course, James Cook kind of thriving with a coach who was asking, who was playing to his strengths and not necessarily asking him to do things out of his primary skills. Not a good pass blocker. So they didn't ask James Cook to do a lot of pass blocking after Ken Dorsey was fired. But you forgot about that. The narrative last year around this time when we were talking, or around draft season last year, is Dalton Kincaid. Is he a pass-catching tight end? Why did they draft a tight end? Oh, is he more a wide receiver? All of these narratives change because, honestly, like, if the player performs at the level we want them to, we kind of forget. Oh, yeah, we had questions about what the Bills would look like with two tight ends out there with Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid. If it looks good, we don't really care. We forget.
Yeah, I would point to actually some of the questions that we were putting forward last year, and as everybody else was, hey, who's going to be the middle linebacker? We're not going to be talking about that. We forget that Baylen Specter for 48 hours, we were thinking he was going to be the starting linebacker. We were thinking that it was going to be Ryan Bates at right guard. So, yes, things change. They change rapidly. There's another episode where Bruce is talking about kind of the philosophy We saw it a little bit, mind you, okay, with Brady in that seven-game stretch. But does Brady, will he match his offense to the strengths of Josh Allen? And I think that's a fair question because we've seen Josh Allen. They built a team with wide receivers that are speedy. They get separation. Beasley, Diggs, to a certain extent, Gabe Davis on a go route. They're all gone. These are stronger guys, different skill set.
Yeah.
What about this direction? Are they actually matching this up to Josh Allen? Is this going to improve the Bills' offense? Is it a cause for concern? It's an interesting point to debate with him.
Yeah, we'll also discuss with him the impact that Ray Davis may have in a Joe Brady offense behind James Cook. They draft a guy for a reason. Could Ray Davis actually be an upgrade from what the Bills had last year in Latavius Murray and Damian Harris, who we kind of forget was on this team last year at this time? So we'll talk about some of the impact of these players, some of these philosophies that are changing with the Bills offense and with Joe Brady. We will discuss the epistemological nightmare of the narratives that just keep hitting us over and over.
I'm going to have you say that word if you're okay with it.
I got it. Well, Bruce made me a smarter person today by introducing me to that word. And when I saw it and I heard it, I'm like, wow, okay. Good that we have Bruce on with us to make us all smarter football fans. And there's a new word that you can throw around to make yourself seem smarter than you actually are. I know I will. We have time for your calls at 866-4326. If you want to pull up a stool and join us, 585-866-4FAN is our phone number. Ryan Talbot of NewYorkUpstate.com is going to join us next. We haven't had Ryan on with us in a while. It's been a downtime, but you can see things are starting to pick up a little bit. There's some noise. There's some traction. We're getting ready.
I feel bad. We haven't had Ryan on since after the draft. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yeah, it's been way too long, and Ryan will be one of the many Western New York media members coming into Rochester coming up next week, and looking forward to that. And, of course, he's part of the Shout podcast with Matt Perino. You're one of those Bills beat reporters. You're just cherishing every second, right? Or are you starting to grip? Like, it's Sunday, and you're going back to work tomorrow? Like, I'm wondering.
I think the gripping begins when the first firework goes off on the 4th of July. I think that's when you realize, okay, it's fall. Like, I know it's not fall. I'm not wishing summer away. But the mind kind of takes you there at the end of the 4th of July weekend, and you start to realize, like, okay, we are in it. It's coming. And it is. It's going to be here. And there's other things going on, by the way, that like give you little reminders that football is here. We'll talk a little bit more about that here later on this afternoon. Friday is a day I've had marked in my calendar for a while, and some of our regulars are ahead of the game. I'll explain why Friday is important and why, Gene, I might need a day on Friday.
Okay.
I don't know how you feel about that. Okay. We'll get to that later on.
Not
this
sure
afternoon.
What that's about, but that's we could also talk about those Yankees. Our poor intern Zach, he took off, but drove down to Baltimore.
Yeah, he went to the game on Sunday, right?
Yeah, it's Sunday, and it's hot. It's a hot ride down, right? It's even hotter. But like, name me a worse loss in Major League Baseball this year than what the Yankees put forward. Like, to have not one but two little league errors cost you the game. Nobody's remembering Volpe's error if in left field Verdugo doesn't trip over his own shoelaces and, you know,
right,
misjudge a play.
Yeah, and that's after they get the first two in that series. And Baltimore was, you know, obviously has been struggling as well. So both teams kind of go into the All-Star break here, putzing along a little
bit. I mean, it's funny. We had Friday, and if you love baseball, and you can always go back and listen, we had one of the voices, Ben Wagner. Great conversation with him. And you look at the Orioles like, wow, this is a team that maybe they get over the hump. He's like, well, he was very pointed, like, this team needs more starting pitching. Every team needs more starting pitching, but you're looking at some of what they trotted out there this week. Yeah, they're going to have to be in the market. And if the Orioles don't make a move, I keep coming back to, could it be a team like the Guardians? Could it be the Astros rising up? I mean, I think a lot of people here in Rochester were already thinking, all right, the winner of the AL East is going to win the American League pennant. I'm not so sure, Danger. Both the Yankees and the Orioles, as good as they are, they do have their flaws, and you're going to be in one of these series that's only five games. It's like hockey in a way where, the better team doesn't always win.
Home Run Derby tonight.
All-Star game tomorrow night. Corbin Burns going to start for the American League.
That is true. We can give you some odds later if you want to play along for the Home Run Derby. I count me, Danger, as somebody who likes the Home Run Derby now over the All-Star game, but if you are going to sit down tomorrow night and watch the All-Star game.
Skeens is out there. I'm watching.
Skeens against Henderson. Skeens against Soto. Here comes Skeens against Aaron Judge.
You know, if Skeens pitches in the second half of the season the way he pitched in the first half of the season, he's winning the Cy Young. The only thing that would stop Skeens from winning the Cy Young is Pittsburgh saying, hey, we're going to pull you back a little bit.
Correct.
But, I mean, he's been the best pitcher in baseball.
No doubt. 11 starts. Fantastic.
Amazing.
You can say this is the best start to a career for anybody. I'm including Fernando Mania. Go look at the stats.
Yeah. He looks great, and we'll see him tomorrow night in the All-Star game. Home Run Derby tonight. Lots of action. And a table now set for you here in the sports bar. We appreciate you stopping by. Thanks for listening in the free-to-download Odyssey app, where we sound our best. You can also get us on your smart device when you ask it to play 95.7 The Fan, and appreciate the viewers, people watching on YouTube, our YouTube channel at The Fan Rochester, also twitch.tv/TheFanRochester. Look us up on Twitch, and you can watch along in the sports bar as well. Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. We talk some Buffalo Bills next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Corbin Burns of the Baltimore Orioles has been named the starting pitcher for the American League. The All-Star game coming up in Texas tomorrow night. Tonight, it's the Home Run Derby. Buffalo Bills will have a few joint practices with the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's taking place in Pennsylvania, leading up to their second preseason game. That'll be taking place on August 17th. Bills rookies reporting to St. John Fisher University tomorrow. We'll talk some Bills football coming up next. Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, joining us here in the sports bar. Rochester Red Wings, they get shut out yesterday to end the first half of their season. down in Worcester. They're back in action coming up after the break in Syracuse. Sports is brought to you by GetMyPerks.com. Get half off to Peace Frog, a Doors tribute band. That concert coming up this Friday at Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel. Gene Battaglia, The Fan, Rochester.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Back in the sports bar, it's Danger and Battaglia as we get ready for Buffalo Bills training camp. It is a week from Wednesday. Gino mentioned it. Rookies reporting, what, next?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, the rookies
tomorrow,
report.
Tomorrow, they report, yeah.
St. John Fisher, we welcome in Ryan Talbot, covering the Bills for NewYorkUpstate.com. Always good with his time to join us. Ryan, with training camp coming up a week from Wednesday, what are you most looking forward to after this offseason with the Bills?
You know, there's a lot of things I'm looking forward to, but I think for me it's probably going to come down to what does this new wide receiver room look like, and even the offense as a whole. There's over 300 vacated targets in this offense that are going to get split around, whether it's tight ends like Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox, some of the new wide receivers on this roster, or even, you know, some of the backs, maybe see a jump from James Cook. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how those vacated targets get split up. And, you know, this summer at training camp, that's where it starts. Who really stands out in this offense and shows that they're going to make the most of this opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking so much at the back end. I'm just thinking at the top end here, Ryan, because we know Kincaid. I think we can kind of pencil in he's going to at least get the same production, maybe a tick up, right? But how would you kind of assess the top end of the wide receiver room? You have Shakir, who last seven games he was really good under the new coordinator, Brady. You have Curtis Samuel coming in. You have the second-round rookie, being the first overall pick in Keon Coleman. How do you see that kind of, I don't want to say battle, but that pecking order playing out?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think to start the year, you're going to see Curtis Samuel maybe be that wide receiver one. And it's funny saying that he has inside-outside versatility. He's been a wide receiver two, wide receiver three in his career, never really had that opportunity to be a wide receiver one. But he's a guy that has has a year of experience in Joe Brady's offense, and he showed a lot in that season with over 1,000 total yards, 800-plus receiving, 200 yards rushing on the ground, showed his versatility. So to reunite with Joe Brady, and for the first time in his career, be on an offense with good quarterback play. I mean, that 2020 year was with Teddy Bridgewater throwing him the ball. So he hasn't had much success with quarterbacks in terms of his time at Carolina or with the or in Washington. So this is going to be a big jump for him in terms of the QB play. That alone, I see him really being able to hit the ground running here in Buffalo. Khalil Shakir would be that next guy I have slotted in. Obviously saw a huge jump in production from 161 yards as a rookie to 611 yards, was catching everything his way in at the end of the season. His final five games, the last three regular season and two playoff games, I believe he caught 23 of 25 targets, sure hand making big plays after the catch. And now you have another offseason of him training with Eric Moulds, working on certain parts of his game that the Bills, I'm sure, identified as needs. I'm excited to see what he looks like in year three. Keon Coleman would be number three for me in terms of that trio you mentioned, just because I think rookies, it takes some time to get them acclimated, whether it's learning the new playbook, whether it's just, you know, experience against NFL cornerbacks. And that's going to be a big change for Keon Coleman in terms of maybe the types of players that he sees week in, week out. I know that at Florida State, he played some really good competition, obviously, at that position. But in my opinion, there's always that learning curve for the wide receiver position. And I think as the year goes on, you'll see him factor in more in this offense. But maybe starting out, he's going to be more of that red zone threat.
And you mentioned Keon Coleman. As far as rookies go, I think he'll probably get a lot of attention. A lot of fans will be looking at Coleman to see what he looks like early on in camp and through the preseason. I'm very curious to see what the Bills do and how they use Ray Davis, the impact that Ray Davis may have behind James Cook in that Bills backfield. What's your take on Davis going into camp?
Davis is interesting because, you know, in the spring he was a little bit banged up already. The Bills obviously liked him, taking him early on day three in this draft class. But what's he going to do this summer? Because he has a viable competitor for that running back two job in Ty Johnson. So Davis, first and foremost, has to be able to stay healthy. And then this summer there's going to be a lot of boxes that he needs to check. You know, is he sure with the ball? Does he not fumble the ball? Is he protected? Is he good as a blocker? Can he catch the ball out of the backfield as well as a lot of these draft analysts say he can? Sean McDermott doesn't hesitate to slow play his rookies unless it is an absolute need. And obviously with James Cook as their number one running back, there's not a huge need necessarily for Ray Davis to start out in a big role. I think by the end of the season, he's most likely to be that running back too for this team. But I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever if Ty Johnson starts the year as that number two running back.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, joining us here in the sports bar. I can't call him a forgotten guy, but he's come up with touchdowns in the playoffs. He has been one of the trusted targets for Josh Allen. Where does Dawson Knox kind of fit into all this? If we're assuming that Kincaid is really taking over as tight end one, are the Bills going to carve out a special role or for Knox? Maybe Knox is, we're going to see him in a rotation. How do you see this working out? Because I can tell you one thing, like looking at the dead cap figure of $24 million, that's Dawson Knox is going to be a Buffalo Bill this year.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be interesting. It's one of the more interesting topics that maybe doesn't get discussed enough about this offense because, you know, Knox was unseated last year when he went out with that injury. Dalton Kincaid showed why the Bills took him in the first round. And everyone, I think, obviously expects Kincaid to take this monster jump in year two. But I still think the Bills are going to find ways to get Dawson Knox on the field, whether it's two tight end sets or rotate him in. He's still an asset in terms of his blocking ability. In the red zone, he's another guy that makes big catches on a regular basis. So while I do think you're going to see maybe a definite decrease in play in snaps, you still have to factor him in, especially when, like you said, you look at this wide receiver room and all the uncertainty there.
And that part of that uncertainty is, I mean, you've got a few really kind of good names kind of bubbling under here and right on that cut line for the Buffalo Bills in the wide receiver room. Guys that we've heard a lot about this offseason, Mac Hollins for being kind of a vocal leader in the wide receiver room, Chase Claypool for making some plays, MVS for having dinner with Josh Allen, I guess. But you got guys like KJ Hamler, you got guys like Andy Isabella that have had some success in this league in the past and might find themselves on the outside looking in. When you look at all of this, who do you think could surprise in terms of showing up and making this team at the end of training camp as a wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, you know, first of all, I do have Mac Hollins as a lock to make this roster.
Okay.
I know he was underwhelming in Atlanta last year, but look at the quarterback play there. I mean, there was no good quarterback play whatsoever. And the year before that, he put up big numbers when he was in Las Vegas, quality numbers for that wide receiver four type of player, special teams ability, great blocker. I look at him as a guy that's going to make this roster, but after him, it does get a little shaky. You know, MVS, you mentioned, had dinner with Josh Allen. He's also guaranteed about $2.25 million on that contract. And the Bills did add a void year or two to that deal to kind of push some of the money down. I think that despite his lack of production last year in KC, the drop issues, he's still a guy that can stretch the field for you, and that opens things up underneath. So I like his odds too. But after that, that's when it's like, who's going to step up? Because I think they do carry six wide receivers. Right now, going into camp, I have my odds on Chase Claypool. Came into this league really strong as a rookie 2020. Almost mirrored that production in his sophomore season. He did see a big drop in his touchdowns in year two. But once Ben Roethlisberger's arm went, you saw that dip in production. When he goes to Chicago, we know all the Chicago quarterback issues up until, you know, obviously them drafting Caleb Williams this year in the draft. So didn't have great quarterback play there. And then traded again to the Dolphins in October of last season. Just didn't really probably have enough time to adjust. So I think based on the production, he's that guy that might surprise some people in terms of making this roster. KJ Hamler would be a fun story, former second-round pick, a lot of speed. But, man, you look at his injury history, and you're talking hamstring, ACL injury. He has a Had a heart irritation issue last year that kind of came on the radar in I believe it was August of 2023. So he's had some injuries and some bad luck. He just has to. He's a guy that just needs to prove he can stay healthy.
Yeah, I like one thing I think, Ryan, we don't talk enough about is the new kickoff rule. And honestly, I think that if Sean McDermott was on the competition committee, knowing that this is something coming down the pike, I hope there is a plan for the Bills to, I don't know if exploit is the right word, but take advantage here of this. And I guess it all starts with the personnel here. And of everybody that you're looking here that's going to be reporting to Fisher here, does anybody jump out at you? You mentioned Hamler. That could be one guy. But is there anybody that we could see as being that guy who could pop one off here occasionally for Buffalo?
Yeah, maybe Hardy that they took on day three in the draft, that nickel cornerback behind Taron Johnson. He has some return experience. I could see him maybe that being the way that he earns that game day jersey week in, week out. Someone that has had some big returns in his career as a, you know, a punt returner, kick returner. So that's one guy that I would keep an eye on there. In terms of the receivers, though, who knows? I mean, some of those back end guys, that might be how they make this roster at the end of the day. But for me, I would go with Hardy in terms of a guy to keep an eye on for that kick return, punt return job.
Another rookie that I'm going to be paying attention to at camp when it opens up a week from Wednesday, Ryan, Cole Bishop is, you know, the second round pick out of Utah and you know, has a pathway to the field if he can beat out a guy like Taylor Rapp or a guy like Mike Edwards. What chance do you give Cole Bishop of making an impact early in his rookie season?
I think he has a really good chance of making an impact early. And, you know, Mike Edwards, I like the player, good veteran, played in a great scheme in Kansas City, so comes from really good coaching as well. I'm sure that the Bills prioritized that when they were looking for some safety options. Taylor Rapp did look better as the year went on after in his first season in Buffalo. But you don't draft Cole Bishop in round two and kind of just sit him for a good portion of his rookie year. You want that athleticism. You want that chess piece out there. This is a guy that moves extremely well for his size. He's someone that blitzes extremely well. I think that the Bills look at him and they probably get excited in all the ways that they can use him. And while, you know, you want to make sure your rookies are comfortable with the playbook before you throw them out there, in terms of the talent level and the production, I think there is a gap there between him and guys like Rapp and Edwards. So I don't think it'll take long for Cole Bishop to make an impact for this defense.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. He'll be one of the many who will be making their way through Western New York, through Rochester coming up beginning next week. Ryan, one of the storylines, well, it's similar to a couple years ago. Actually, I'll phrase it this way. The Bills have had a big-name defensive player who's been on the mend every training camp here. 2 years ago, it was Tre'Davious White, and we saw how the Bills slow played that. And maybe White wasn't – he was in shape, but he wasn't in, quote-unquote, football shape. We didn't see him until later in the year. Same deal with Von Miller, and Von Miller now kind of rewriting his own story, saying he wishes that he didn't play, paraphrasing there, of course. But what about Matt Milano here? Matt Milano, a different injury for sure, but – still severe enough to keep him out of the season. How do you think the Buffalo Bills play the Matt Milano kind of timeline here? Because if judging by the past where we thought White would be out there and we thought Von Miller would be out there and now they were just working off to the side, any indication what we may see out of Matt Milano this camp?
No concrete inclination yet, but I think the fact that he was out there in the spring doing things is a very encouraging sign. It wasn't guaranteed. Sean McDermott kind of said, well, we might have him out there doing some things. But then he was taking parts in drills, and, you know, you saw him. He looked like he had some maybe that burst, and he was looking better. There was so much unknown about his injury, whether, you know, planned or unplanned. The Bills kind of saying it's something they had never dealt with before. Definitely, you know, played on the cautious side in terms of keeping him out, never even opened the possibility of saying that he could come back in time for the playoffs last season. But based on the fact of what we saw from him in the spring, I think that there's a better chance of seeing him on the field in week one or early in the season than it was for Von Miller or Trey White 2 years ago.
Ryan, it may be not the sexiest topic, but every year we have to evaluate and look at what's going on with the Bills' offensive line. I'm a little bit down on what they could do this year because I think last year was extremely fortunate for them to play the entire season essentially with the same five guys up front. Deion Dawkins has never started the season with the same guard twice. That continues with McGovern sliding over to center and Edwards presumably starting at left guard. What's your evaluation of the offensive line for the Buffalo Bills as they head to St. John Fisher?
Yeah, I'm actually very excited about this unit going into this season. And, you know, time will tell if I'm right to be in that regard. But I think Aaron Cromer is one of the best in the game in terms of coaching up the offensive line. And going into this season, I feel like you're going to see some, from left to right, a really more powerful maybe offensive line. That might be the best way to put it. I think you're going to see them blocking in the run game even better than they did 1 year ago. I think that you might see Josh Allen even have a little bit extra time in the passing game. You know, you mentioned Deion Dawkins. He is still playing at an elite level at left tackle. We'll see how the guard play next to him affects him. Obviously, there has been some years where the guard play has been a little bit down, and Dawkins hasn't looked as elite or as at a Pro Bowl, All-Pro type level as we saw 1 year ago. So, you know, who's that going to be? Well, you mentioned one option in David Edwards. It could be Cedric Van Pran Granger, a guy that they drafted on day three that a lot of people kind of projected him to be a center, but the Bills say they look at him as a guard and center, depending on what happens there. But I love the right side of this line. Osiris Torrance in year two, he was a guy whose name you never heard in the regular season, and that's the best thing, the best compliment you can give an O-lineman. I think in year two, you're going to see a big jump from him. Spencer Brown playing in a contract year, trying to show that he is the right tackle of the future for this team after a really good year 1 year ago. It's going to come down to health for him and building off of that season. And then at center, McGovern has said, you know, this is his most, that's his best position. He's most comfortable there. He has a bigger wingspan than Mitch Morse. I think he brings a little bit more power to the offensive line at that center position, whereas Morse had to rely on his athleticism, which he did a great job of doing. But I really do like that O-line from, you know, left tackle to right tackle, and some of the depth there, too, is going to make it pretty intriguing this summer.
Ryan, it's funny because we can have a lot of fun conversation talking about all these different positional battles and who may make the team. Ultimately, in my opinion, if the Bills want to get to where they're going, it depends on can Josh Allen take that next step. And let me just read this quote for everybody. We haven't brought this up on the show yet, but Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, sits down with the unnamed executive. He provides this quote. Now, the disclaimer here, Ryan, whenever you're going to the unsourced or the nameless executive, whatever, yes, understandably, you'd rather have somebody put their name on it, but here is the quote on Josh Allen. Quote, "One of the more overrated players in the NFL. Immense talent, but he makes a lot of mistakes. He's underdeveloped at winning at the line of scrimmage, tends to lock on targets, more of a thrower than precision passer, forces throws into traffic." Ryan, is that fair or not?
No, that's not fair, and I'm guessing that executive will be looking for work sooner rather than later if that's his analysis of Josh Allen. You know, Allen, you live with the turnovers. He's high up there, but he's also number one in terms of total touchdowns over the course of his career. He's someone that has helped turn this franchise around, made them a perennial Super Bowl contender year in, year out. There are certainly weaknesses in his game, but to call him one of the more overrated quarterbacks is asinine, in my opinion.
Ryan, the pass rush is another area that we look at and think, all right, how can this get better this season, or how can we improve over what they had last season? And there's a name that I'm intrigued by because I feel like it went kind of under the radar as far as the signing goes. Is Dwayne Smoot anything for this rotation of pass rushers for the Buffalo Bills defense going into camp?
You know, he's going to have to show it this summer. He's someone, though, that was coming off of a serious injury in Jacksonville. But before that injury, he was someone that you could count on for, you know, 5.5 to 7.5 sacks pretty regularly. If he can return to form and do that, the Bills would love to have him as edge rusher number four in that rotation. Obviously, Von Miller, Greg Rousseau, I have on the top line, A.J. Epenesa claiming one of those spots. But, you know, Smoot has to kind of show that he is that player and he can be that player. And we know how it can take some time for players to return to form at the edge rusher position, as we saw 1 year ago in Von Miller. There's a ton of question marks about this edge rusher depth. Is Kingsley Jonathan going to step up in that spot, or is it a Cameron Klein, Javon Solomon, who they drafted this year, who had a lot of production at Troy? And listen, Troy's produced some pretty good pass rushers in their day, but you don't know until you kind of get out there and in the pads to see what these guys can do. And Smoot has a track record of production, but he also is coming off of a pretty legitimate injury and has to show that he is that player of old.
Ryan, do I owe you an apology? Did we interrupt the Shout podcast? Because I'm looking at this screenshot of Perino and this bewildered look on his face while you're on the phone with me as we're just coming on a commercial break. Do I owe you an Perino apology here?
No, we're taping our positional previews, and we were starting it at 3. I thought we were going to get the first one done by that certain time, and we were finishing it up, and I'm like, oh man, it's. I wasn't looking at my cell phone clock there, and I saw it ringing there at the end. So just kind of a trying to get that first one in, and didn't finish that first episode in time.
Ryan, we're excited. Can't wait for a week from Wednesday when it all opens up at St. John Fisher. We'll be following along with what you and Matt are kicking out at NewYorkUpstate.com and the Shout podcast. And maybe we get you out for a plate this year. We know Perino won't do it, but we know we can get you out. You're a plate aficionado.
Yeah, come on, Ryan. Let's do it.
Absolutely. I will be there the 26th and the 28th, so I'll be there that whole weekend. So we can definitely plan something then. I know August 4th I'll be there as well, but we're also having wing nuts in that day. So maybe we'll have you guys come for some wing nuts at Dorado.
Whoa. That is some breaking news here in the sports.
Yeah. Live podcast coming up August 4th. Right. Got it, Ryan. We'll mark that on our calendar. Check. Thanks for the time as always, buddy.
Hey, you got it, guys. Thank you.
You got it. Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, covering the Buffalo Bills. You can hear him with our buddy Matt Perino as well on the Shout podcast, which I guess we'll be doing a live pod. On August 4th, his camp is getting set to wrap up from Dorado there on Park Avenue.
Yeah, hopefully, wing nuts. Yeah, hopefully they don't run out of wings this year.
No. So it was quite a scene as somebody who went down to support our guys. That was a scene for sure. Great stuff from Ryan. We'll have more Bills talk coming up with Bruce Nolan. The Bruce exclusive Buffalo Rumblings. He'll be stopping by the sports bar right around 4:25.
Yeah, we've got time for your calls on the other side. Our phone number is 866-4FAN, 866-4326. Some takes here coming up. Boy, we lost a lot of people over the weekend. Non-sports take, but one of them actually kind of sticks out. And actually, the person who we lost over the weekend, Danger, I think you and your wife should learn something from this. Time. It's valuable.
Richard Simmons?
No.
Oh.
But I'll explain. Also, the Olympics are coming up in 2028 in Los Angeles, right?
Right?
Yes. No.
Oh.
They're outsourcing. There's a city the size of Rochester that's going to be hosting events. It's not in California. I'll explain.
You mentioned how you had a tweet that got some national notoriety this weekend, Gino. I also engaged with somebody with a large following and saw an engagement with he and I talking non-sports take, but an update on our fruit of the year conversation.
Okay.
All right. We'll get into that. And as I mentioned earlier, there's a big day happening this week for a lot of sports fans. And I'm saying that if today is our final Monday without football until President's Day, I think Friday we need to clarify. Friday should be a special holiday, with finger quotes, holiday as well. And I might need the day on Friday.
Friday. Okay. I'm trying to think what that day might be.
But we'll get into it next. And we have time for your calls at 866-4FAN, 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.